Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hello and welcome to Made by Mamas, the podcast. I'm Zoe.
And I'm Georgia.
And we're here talking all things parenthood, tips and tricks,
products we love,
and brands that we can't live without. Let's get into it. Hello, G.
And hello.
GG.
Little G. Big G and little G.
It's lovely to have a little mini me in the studio today.
Yeah, so if you hear any little, like, I don't know, baby noises, you know that it's just Gigi sitting here.
Yeah, she's so gorgeous. And apologies about my voice and my cold. I went to a
I was going to say, are you going to give us the real reason or the pretend reason?
I mean, I could tell you it's because I've been up all night with the kids, working really hard, but I went to Ibiza for 3 days. I was supposed to have a really chill time and I ended up going to High for Glitterbox, DC10 for Loco Dot. I mean, I raved.
So I'm not feeling sorry for you today at all.
You don't need to feel sorry for me. But anyway, I came back feeling extremely tired, but my soul was completely energised.
And that's what's important.
And I needed to dance it out.
Yeah.
So I didn't get much sleep.
And did you get sleep last night?
Not really.
Tell us, what happened?
I don't know what happened. Apparently Luna was good as gold for Dozer whilst I was away.
Oh, that's so annoying.
Both the kids slept through the night. I feel like she's different towards me than she is to him. I don't know if anyone else has experienced this, but I get more of the whining, more of the kind of mummy-ness kind of stuff going on. And I think that is just to do with our relationship, because I'm probably just a bit more intense with her, I guess, maybe.
And she's probably really, really close to you. So she feels like she can sort of behave how she really wants to behave.
Yeah, I think Doz is probably just a bit firmer with her, which is brilliant. I probably need to channel my inner Doz when I'm trying to discipline her. But yeah, she woke up 4 or 5 times last night. I've got no idea why, you know, dropped her teddy, wanted to go for a wee, all this kind of stuff. So I never know what I'm going to get in the house, I think.
It is crazy, isn't it? Because, I mean, I assumed before I became a mum that you only really sort of suffered sleep deprivation for a few weeks, maybe a few months. But actually, the toddler sleep phase is just as bad sometimes, isn't it, as the newborn sleep phase?
I mean, you can kind of get your head around the fact that maybe for a year you're not going to get that much sleep, you know, like if you really went there in your head you could be like, okay, I can deal with this. But after that you just think, oh, for fuck's sake, just go to sleep.
Just sleep.
And obviously, like, the early wake-ups, you know, people are listening to this who has a toddler that doesn't want to sleep past 5 a.m. I completely understand that, because that happened to us for nearly 2 years.
Yeah, it's crazy,
you know, we've broken
it?
The back of it now. God, please, have we touched wood? I'm touching a door.
We touch wood a lot in this episode.
I hate saying it out loud, but it's just why?
I think sometimes they get to know their own minds, don't they? And they will just do what they want to do. Mm. But luckily, we are going to chat to somebody who knows all about sleep.
Yeah, our favourite topic of topic of conversation. Yeah, we follow her on Instagram. She is absolutely amazing with her advice, and she knows exactly what she's doing. She is the baby guru. So I think we should get into it, shall we?
Let's get to it.
So as you all know, Georgia and I absolutely love discussing sleep. It's one of our favourite subjects, isn't it?
It is. I think as soon as you become a mum, it becomes like top of your agenda, doesn't it?
Yeah.
How do you get your sleep back? And
how many hours have you had?
Yeah. How many hours have you had? And then you get into bed and you think, right, how many hours am I going to get now?
Yeah, it becomes a sort of obsession. So we are absolutely over the moon, because for the next hour, we're going to get to chat about sleep with one of the sleep experts that we absolutely avidly follow and love. Her name is Sam Saunders, aka the baby guru.
Wow, thanks very much.
Cheers.
Thank you, ladies. I'm so excited.
Well, it's absolutely brilliant having you here today because, as we've just mentioned, sleep is hot topic on people's agenda when they become parents.
Absolutely. And you have no expectation of what's going to happen. You think, oh, they'll sleep. We'll be fine. It's not that bad. But you cannot comprehend how tired you can get.
And I think a lot of us always think about newborns not sleeping and babies. But actually today we're going to speak about toddlers not sleeping. And even if you completely nailed the baby stage, you can sometimes come into huge problems when they start to get to 18 months and older.
Absolutely. And a lot of that is about their sort of testing their boundaries as well, and they're sort of like, I'm going to push a little bit tonight, and it's about being getting back on that track of being firm all the time and consistent, and explaining to them why we need to go to sleep, why we need sleep, why you can't sleep in mummy's bed. All those things are really important when they get over that age.
So if people don't know who you are, just tell us a little bit about what you do.
Okay, so I work with babies from birth up to about 5 years. I do anything to do with sleep, routine, feeding and weaning, in particular vegan weaning. I have a great passion for it in supporting parents. But I've worked with babies ever since I was 18, and I was a maternity nurse for a long time. I worked in midwifery for many years, and now I work predominantly as a sleep coach. So I sort of work via telephone, email, or I have an app, the Baby Guru Sleep Coaching app, or I go into people's homes. So this weekend I've been with a really lovely family with their little one, getting him to self-settle in his cot and not co-sleep, which they didn't want anymore.
Co-sleeping. I can't wait for us to discuss
this. Yeah, I know. Should we start with co-sleeping?
Yeah, we can.
We've had a lot of people from our Instagram write in to say, how do you break that? You know, they've slept in the bed till they're 18 months old. And then how do you then say to them, okay, no more?
No more. So generally, if they're that age and they've been with you all that time, you need to do quite a gentle approach. You can't just pop them in their bed and go, that's it, you're not getting out again. So what I usually suggest is that you sort of camp in with them for a couple of nights and you get them used to sleeping in their room and in their bed. So you could have a mattress on the floor, or if they've got if they've got two beds in there, great. And then you start to gradually retreat. So you would then have a chair by the bed and you'd sit there for a few nights. Okay, they may kick off, but you reassure them constantly. So mummy or daddy are here. You know, it's time to go to sleep. Lay back down and go to sleep. And you just start reducing your level of support that you give them. So you move that chair further away to the door for a few nights, then you stand by the door and then you stand outside the door, and you just do it really slowly. It can take between 2 weeks and 4 weeks to do it gradually.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So it is a commitment to do it.
Before we get into the different subjects, because there is so much to cover with sleeping, is there a right or a wrong way of kind of settling into a good sleep routine with your kids? So, you know, are there kind of complete no-nos that you absolutely shouldn't do?
Well, for me, yes. I mean, we can all do it our own way. There's no real right or wrong way. But having a regular routine with sleep cues is really important, so they know that sleep is coming. If you live an erratic life with no consistency and no routine, your kids are never going to know when bedtime is. They're generally going to be overtired, so they're going to kick off. And they'll sleep worse. So it's much better to have those sort of cues from after dinner time, that maybe the screen time goes down, there's no screen time, you have quiet time, they have a bath. Having a bath has been shown that warming the body slightly and then cooling down again helps with the falling asleep process. And we generally know that as adults, that having a nice bath helps you fall asleep. So it's the same for kids as well. And having a couple of storybooks and then creating that calm atmosphere, making sure their bedroom, they're happy in there. If they need a nightlight or something like that when they get a bit older. And having those cues are really important, that they feel comfortable and confident to go to sleep.
Right.
I'm just going to jump in. Nightlight. Yeah. So we've just moved Axel into a bed from his cot, quite late on, really. But he's now started saying his room's too dark.
Yes.
And we're used to blackout, not a tiny little bit of light, taping up windows in hotels, all that kind of stuff. And now suddenly he wants a little light on. And I didn't really know what to do. And I haven't changed anything yet. But he does keep consistently saying, can you leave the door open? My room's too dark. Yeah, I want a little light on.
I know. I mean, it's exactly the same in our household, to be fair. Luna, I hear Luna saying in the night, even though she's got two night lights, I still hear her saying, Mummy, I'm scared of the dark.
And it's about reassuring them that nothing can happen to them in the dark, that you're always there, your bedroom's next door or wherever it is. You know, give them the reassurance. But having a nightlight is quite a good idea. Mm-hmm. And okay. sometimes by that age, they do want the bedroom door open as well. They're just aware. More as they get older, they're more aware of their surroundings. So therefore, their sleep changes. So I think a nightlight's a good idea. And you can get those tiny little plug-in ones or a sort of a bigger one, or have the, if you have dimmer lights, you know, put them onto the lowest dim, something like that. You don't have to buy things. So
That's really interesting.
Yeah,
isn't
that
it?
Is, because I was so concerned, because obviously all the baby books when they're really little say, you know, have the room really dark. And then suddenly now I'm like, oh, OK, I need to have the room a little bit lighter. Mm. I also think well, at the beginning, he was falling out of bed and then not being able to find his way back to bed
because it was so dark.
What's the right age to move a baby from a cot to a cot bed? A bed.
So on average, babies are from 18 months onwards, but some children are 3.
If
they're comfortable in their cot, there is no right or wrong answer. And if they fit and they've got those big cot beds, they can stay in there till they're 3 years old and they're happy, they're fine. But some little ones, especially if you've been co-sleeping and they've been used to a bed.
Yeah.
And you're moving them, you know, being in a cot can be quite scary from that age. So maybe putting them into a sort of a really low toddler bed, or even a mattress on the floor to begin with, so they transition and get used to sort of sleeping in a different space. And you can get those bed rails that stop them falling out.
Yes, they're quite good, aren't they? Just by the head.
Yeah,
so what are the signs that you need to look for to see if a toddler is ready to be
so
moved?
Maybe they're, for safety, they're climbing out. They manage to climb out their cot or fall, you know, head first. You don't want them hurting themselves. If they're asking that they want to sleep in a big bed as well, maybe you've got a sibling being born soon or coming along, and you sort of want to bridge that gap between you're going to need that cot for the next one, and you don't want them to sort of see that, well, I'm giving up my cot for the baby. So having that maybe 6 months where the new one's in a Moses basket next to you, or a side next to me cot, and then you can move them then. So they're sort of good size, or they've outgrown it.
I mean, to be honest, Axel was fine in his cot. I think he quite liked it. But
are you getting on with him being in a bed?
He loves it.
Great.
First two nights, he was perfect. We didn't hear him. He was just absolutely great. He asked on the monitor, can I get out of bed now? And then the third night...
So cute.
The third night, I'm 3 floors up from Axel's bedroom. And the third night, I opened my eyes and he was peering over the top of me. And I was like... And that's when the whole thing of it's too dark started. And since then, I mean, he's been all right again. But...
I mean, I know we're talking about toddlers being scared in their sleep, but I'm just going to throw it out there. There is nothing more scary than seeing a tiny child, okay, maybe your child, standing in the dark looking at you. This is my childhood fear being lived out every single night. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, oh my
absolutely
God.
Terrifying.
I was petrified. He was literally like standing over the top of me.
Very big wide eyes.
Yeah. And then he just like literally bundled on top of me like boom, like that, and went to sleep, which was lovely, but you know.
Some parents, what they do is to help with that is put a stair gate across your toddler's door, not to stop them coming out, but so that A, you can hear them on the way, but for their safety as well, especially if you're 3 floors up and he's a bit sleepy coming up.
We didn't think he could open his door because it is actually really difficult to open, but he obviously did manage.
He can do it. Axel's a clever one. I wanted to talk about when things are getting quite kind of messy at home, in terms of no one's really sleeping in the house, there might be a new baby there, and then the toddler starts coming into you, and as opposed to putting, you know, toddler back into their bed, you're just scooping them up, and suddenly you've started this habit of them sleeping with you. So this is quite a common subject.
Very common,
You know, loads of questions to us. How do we break that?
I mean, to be honest, if Axel ever wakes in the night, touch all the wood. Where is all the wood? Oh no, there's no wood in here. He doesn't really. But when he has done, I always just let him come straight in with me. And I know I should. Yeah, if he wakes up in the night, I would just... It's so rare that I think, oh, whatever, just come in with me. But if it started happening more, then I would have to think.
Yeah,
to
I mean,
myself.
if some parents don't mind, it's fine. But if it becomes a habit and it becomes every single night, then it is something and you want to deal with it. It is about putting them back to bed, explaining to them in the day that, you know, none of us sleep properly when you get in mummy and daddy's bed. You know, they do understand, and we don't give kids credit for what they can take on board. So explaining to them that, you know, we sleep in our own beds, and that it's lovely you come and see mummy, and mummy's always here, or daddy, to reassure you, but we're going to take you back to bed every time. And it is about being disciplined with yourself, because by the time you've taken them back, you're wide awake then, and it takes you, what, half an hour, 40 minutes to fall back to sleep again.
Gigi's in the room, by the way. Just Gigi. Little Gigi's with us.
Oh, she's sitting with Imo.
So consistency is key.
Absolutely.
So let's give you a scenario. They come out of bed, mummy, mummy, daddy, daddy. Yep. You know, and you don't pick them up and put them into bed with you. You say,
yep.
What did you say?
You'd say, come on, it's back to your bedtime now. It's back to your bed now. And you just take them back and put them in their bed. And if they're used to going to sleep on their own, there's no reason why you can't leave the room. If, though, when they go to sleep, they need you to sit in with them, which quite often happens with little ones. They sort of get a bit sort of, I want you to stay with me. And if that's become a habit, then sit with them until they fall back asleep. But
that can take ages.
It can do. So it's better that they learn to fall asleep on their own from bedtime. So when you take them back, they know how to go back to sleep on their own. Maybe sort of reassuring them that they've got their favourite teddies with them. You know, have something that's special to them.
Yeah.
And that, you know, you've got your bunnies or your dinosaurs or whatever you have. And it's time to settle back down to sleep. And it is about repetition over and over again.
Right. Yeah. So in an ideal world, sorry, G, because this is really interesting, this part. What does that bedtime, you talked about all the sleep triggers. Yep. So what is an ideal scenario when you put your toddler to bed?
Okay, so you've had dinner and you've maybe turned the TV off if it's been on, and you have some sort of playtime downstairs, maybe for 20 minutes, half an hour after dinner, and then you go up the stairs, and an ideal bedtime routine lasts about 45 minutes. Any longer than that, it becomes overstimulating.
Right.
So it's bath time, and okay, it can be great fun, it can be noisy, and then it's quiet time afterwards. So you get them dressed in their room, into their pyjamas, and then it's a story time or songs, whatever they want. And at around about the age of sort of 2 to 3, they begin to sort of try and drag bedtime out. Very good at that one.
Yes. So it's like,
one more story.
I need a wee.
One more story.
Can I have a snack?
Yeah. Can I have some water? Oh,
yeah.
Wow. Yeah.
So, yeah, having a glass of water, their cup of water in the room or their beaker is fine. Absolutely fine. But, you know, making sure they've been to the toilet after they've got out the bath, and get them to choose their stories. Have an agreement with them. Say, look, you can choose 3 stories or 4. You know, that's about the right sort of number. And then mummy or daddy will read those.
And when I say 1.
That's how long the book is.
Yeah, don't. I'm like, 1 story, just 1.
And then sticking to that. So when they go, can I have another one? You go, well, we agreed and you chose your books and that's what I'm going to read tonight, and sticking to it. Because otherwise it's like 1 more, 1 more, 1 more, and 1 more gets into 10 more. Mm. And you've read the whole bookcase and it's getting late and then they're overtired.
Yeah.
So, and then it's about sort of trying to get them to go to sleep on their own in their bedroom and helping them to feel safe about that if they haven't been.
Okay.
So sort of doing that gradual sort of coming out the door slowly and then popping back and giving them reassurance, I'm still here, or saying to them, I'm just going to go and empty the tumble dryer or something.
Then I'm coming back, I do that.
And then I come back. And then you usually by then they've gone to sleep and you don't come back. But of course, if they call you, you go back and reassure them and say, I'm still here. I'm just washing up now or something.
Yeah, okay. That all makes sense really, doesn't it?
I'm dying.
That's why I do lie.
Do you? Yeah. You've got your sleep situation nailed, G. You're so good. Axel's been an amazing sleeper since the word go, right?
Yeah, no, he has been. I was really strict at the start.
Yeah.
I've actually got less strict as he's got older and like pulls on my heartstrings.
You have a heart?
Sometimes. He says things to me sometimes like, lay on the floor next to me and hold my hand, and I'm like, no, Axel, like, I'm not doing that. I only do that like if we're staying in a hotel or like something like that. And he goes, that means you don't love me.
Oh my god, Axel, he's so clever.
And I don't, he's so mean.
Luna goes, you're my best friend, mummy, and you're my best friend if you stay with me. And I'm like, okay, all right, no, I am your best friend. Okay,
but it only takes like 3 days to create a new habit. So just be mindful that, you know, 3 or 4 days in, that's what they're going to expect. And they're going to want more and more as well.
Should a toddler sleep through the night?
No, not necessarily. Yes, in an ideal world, they would. But it's not unusual for toddlers to wake at night. And they're just becoming more aware of their surroundings. So there might be, so they wake up and they're like, oh, it's, as we said, it's dark. So maybe a night light. They might have night terrors or nightmares. So that'll wake them in the night. And also a new sibling arriving can create that as well.
Yeah.
Going on holiday, starting school or preschool, all those things affect their sleep. Being overtired, dropping their day nap, what they eat.
That's what we wanted to speak about, exactly, naps. When do you stop the naps?
Okay, some babies are 2 years old, 18 months, 2 years, and they can go all day. Others are 4 or 5 years old. So there is no right or wrong. But in general, it's around 2 to 3 years that they start to drop their naps. And it generally, what happens is they just take longer and longer to fall asleep, or they don't fall asleep, or they fall asleep at 4 o'clock and you're like, this isn't going to work. You're going to be up till 10. So, and also they might sort of go a few days without a nap and then need one to catch up. So it's bringing bedtime forward when they start dropping their nap. It's allowing some quiet time, maybe after lunch when they normally would nap, is just reading some books, maybe listening to some music. So it's not about going out to your next activity or running around. It's about having that quiet time still.
Yeah. I quite often put a film on if I know Axel's quite tired, but he's definitely not going to sleep. I'll sit and we'll have a cuddle and we might watch a little film or something.
Yeah, and it's that having that downtime. And we relax to watching TV. So if that's great for your kids, you know, if that works for you, that's fine.
So we're going through it a little bit at home at the moment because Kit is obviously only 17 months. So he's transitioning from 2 naps to 1 nap.
Yeah.
So in an ideal world, and obviously Luna's just about to turn 3, they would both have their lunch at 12, go down for their sleep at 12:30 and both be asleep. But what's happening now is Kit can't get to 12. So like at like 11 after swimming, he's like in the back of the car and I'm like, I'm just going to have to put him down. Yeah, so he then sleeps from 11 until 12:30, wakes up and is hungry, wants his lunch. Then I've got a really tired toddler
to put down.
Put down, and then that's taking a long time. So then it's like we're in a bit of a mess at the minute. This period I'm finding quite hard with the naps in the day.
Yeah, and it's a transition and it will adjust. As he gets older, he'll be able to go a bit longer. So, you know, sort of try maybe in a fortnight's time, 15 minutes later and see where it goes. But bring his bedtime forward
to 6:30.
Even I'd say the earliest bedtime with any baby is around 6:15.
Okay.
So you could go as early as that. It doesn't mean they're going to get up super early in the morning. Because if they go overtired, they're going to wake up early anyway.
Right.
So it's better that they go to. If Axel goes to sleep at like 6:30, I see absolutely no difference with the wake up. I just sometimes haven't got time to get him down by then. You know, like by the time we get home from somewhere, he has some food, we've got in the bath, and then it's 7 anyway.
7 o'clock.
Yeah, otherwise I would totally put him down at 6:30.
What's this thing about them being overtired? So let's say Axel and Luna don't have a nap in the day. We get them to bed at 7:15 and they wake during the night. Luna does it. If she doesn't have her nap in the day, she's worse at night. Why?
Because she's overtired. So you can't, they it just disturbs their sleep. So it's really important that you have some quiet time and you try and get them to bed as early as possible. But that isn't always easy. So that's why they're waking. They just cannot settle into deep sleep for long periods. So they're waking up, coming into their light sleep and waking up.
I mean, Luna had me up 4 times in the night last night and it was just endless. You know, where's my Ulfie? She chucked Ulfie towards the end of the bed so that I came in. I'm frightened of the dark. I was like, you've got 2 nightlights on. Mummy, I need a wee. Took her to the loo. Didn't go for a wee, obviously. You know, it was just like, and then she was poor thing. She was exhausted this morning because she'd been up so much.
So, but she can get a nap today. That's the important thing. And then maybe early to bed tonight if you can manage that.
Right.
So she does that bit of catch up. So,
I find Axel definitely needs a nap, like 100% still needs a nap. But now he's at preschool, they don't nap. There's nowhere to nap. They don't put them down for a nap. He's just literally his first day today. So now I'm a bit worried. Like, I'll pick him up at 2:15. Can he have half an hour at 2:15?
Yeah, absolutely. That's fine. If he falls asleep in the car or something on the way home, or you get home and, you know, if he will sit down and have some quiet time and falls asleep for half an hour, that's fine. Yeah.
Shall we do some questions?
Yes, absolutely.
Our lovely followers have sent us loads of questions. So shall we just kind of, do you want to kick off, G?
Yeah, so one lovely girl called Rachel has said, tips from going from a sleeping bag to a duvet for a toddler that moves around a lot.
So it's quite a difficult one because the sleeping bags, they love that security. But if they're wiggling, I mean, there's nothing wrong with being in a sleeping bag for an older child, but it's finding not too heavy a duvet as well and not a full size one. You can get sort of smaller duvets, so it's not so big, so they can still sort of move around with them and they turn over with them, but they are likely to still move around the bed.
Do you know what I've done with Axel? He's got a cot bed like with the side off, and I've tucked a single duvet all round one side, so it's almost like one side is like a duvet which he can move, and then the other side is quite tucked in.
That's clever.
It helps with him falling out as well.
So you're tucking him in on the side that you could roll it. Yeah,
yeah,
great.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
I found that. Oh, gee, she's so smart.
Not just a pretty face.
This is from a lovely lady called Hilsey. Why is my now 2.5-year-old waking up so early? It's like I've got a newborn again, and I can completely sympathise with this from the 5 a.m. wake up calls we had for a year.
Yeah. So early wake ups can be down to numerous things, and so it could be environmental. It's unlikely that if it hasn't happened, it's suddenly happening now. But not having blackout blinds, we talked about having a dark room, but they are great for early wake-ups. Is there anything environmentally that's waking them up? So noise, or maybe the heating comes on, things like that. You know, it can be noisy. Maybe you're getting up early to go to work and they sort of hear that, so they're up. Being overtired is another one. So if they're going to bed too late, so you're thinking, if I put them to bed half an hour later, they wake up. No, it actually has the opposite effect.
Yeah, it doesn't work.
No, so put them to bed actually earlier. If they're sort of dropping that nap in the day, as we've talked about, that can, you know, sort of make early wake up. So that's going to be a transition thing. And also when they're having development leaps, their brains are just wired. They're absorbing so much between those, the sort of the 1 to 3 years, which are the toddler years. And it's a bit like you've got a really important business meeting the next day and you're just, the moment you stir, you're like, you're up.
That's all you can think about.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And they're the same. They've got, you know, they're sort of starting school or something like that, or they've got a birthday party coming up and they're just awake like that. So
birthday
it is about
party.
Dreaming all the cake they're going to eat.
That's right.
Here's another one. Weaning off a dummy at night. My toddler wakes so much earlier in the morning without it.
So, you know, if it's not bothering you, leave the dummy there. My granddaughter, who's 4, gave hers up last week, but happily gave it up. She threw them in the bin and we bought her, she wanted a doll. So I said, look, Grandma, I'll buy you any doll you want. So, you know, if you... You don't have to do it then, but if you do, then again, talking to them about it, you're going to have a couple of rough nights.
Yeah.
So it's a bit, you know, it's about giving them reassurance, about maybe giving them a teddy instead that they like, so they've got something to hold, and lots of reassurance. But, you know, if you want to get rid of it, it is about just going cold turkey.
That's what I did with Axel.
Somebody gave me a really good tip on that. So apparently children, like, obviously they love having sort of silky things between their fingers. So if you've got like a kind of silky pair of pyjamas or a silky nightie or something and you don't love it too much.
Silky knickers for you, though.
That would be weird if I was giving it to my toddler. Cut a piece out of it and give it to them and say, this is just a special thing that I'm giving to you. And then they can play with it between their fingers.
Like, so I've got friends who still play with labels.
Yes. Labels. Yeah, they love a label.
That's what it is.
So that's something, I don't know. Try it. At this point,
and
try
you can
anything.
You can buy those little blankets that have got little sort of soft... silky all the way around as well.
Yeah.
But giving them something of yours, maybe that's a bit silky, maybe a cami top or something like that, or that they like to sort of, you know, that they can, that's yours.
Get down to Primark and get yourself one that costs $3.99. This is one. Temper tantrum in the cot bed. Keep them in the room or go somewhere else.
What, mum goes somewhere else or dad?
No, as in, I think temper tantrum in the cot. Do I keep them in the room or go somewhere else?
Okay, so if they don't want to go to bed, I assume that is. So they're kicking off. So as long as they can't get out and hurt themselves or fall out and hurt themselves, then it's about just constantly going in and reassuring them. And I usually say go in every 2 minutes, sort of, so it's lay back down. And you're not say, what's the matter? It's about, come on, lay back down. It's time to go to sleep. And then you go out again. You just go in and out repeatedly over and over again until they've settled. Okay. And it's about giving them that reassurance.
Good. That sounds
great. Love
yeah.
That.
Yeah. How do I get my 20-month-old to stop waking for milk in the night?
So as long as they're eating well in the day, then there shouldn't be any reason for them to have a bottle at night. So you could change it for a bottle of water or start to water that bottle down. So if you're using cow's milk by then, or you could start sort of putting less cow's milk and more water. If you're using formula, you just put less scoops in. So you get it down to basically water and then stop it. Or you can just stop it.
So do they get to sort of know, like say the night before they had milk at 2 o'clock. So then the next night they think, oh, 2 o'clock, I'll wait for some milk.
Yeah, do they know that?
Yeah, and it becomes a habit. And it's a bit like us waking in the night. If we sort of, you know, a lot of us don't have a drink, but some of us inhabit wake up and want to drink.
Me.
Yeah.
So every night.
Every night.
Do you?
Every night I have a glass of water in the middle of the night, both Dozer and I.
Do you? Yeah. Oh, wow. I don't wake in the night, really.
No, I once I go to sleep, I don't either. But yeah, so it's about breaking that habit. So, and also they like the sucking action. It's not necessarily they're hungry. They just want that lovely sucking action that, yeah. you know, they've been doing it for a long time. So it, and it, it is quite difficult for them, and understanding it's going to be a few rough nights.
Yeah. Here's one. My 16-month-old went to bed like a dream and is now screaming out constantly when I put her down.
So is she tired? Is she having too many naps in the day? Because they sort of transition from down from one nap, two naps to one during 15 to 18 months. So maybe she's having two naps still. So maybe she's not tired at bedtime. Maybe she's overtired at bedtime. So putting her to bed earlier. Having a really calm, quiet bedtime routine is really important.
Do you believe in controlled crying?
No,
you don't.
No, I don't. And control crying has a really bad name because that's about shutting the door and not going back in.
Okay.
And any sleep training, there will be some crying, but it's not about controlling. It's about giving them lots of reassurance. It's about going back into them repeatedly over and over again and reassuring them. It's not about shutting the door and leaving them alone. Never.
See, this I is thought interesting. I thought controlled crying was like where you said, right, I can leave them to cry for 2 minutes, then I'll go in. And then the next time you leave them for 3 minutes and then go in. I did that with Axel.
So I've just had to go through it with Kit.
Yeah.
So we did, I mean, I feel slightly sort of not ashamed because I was going in, but the more I go in just feeds him. So I went in, I checked on him.
Uh-huh.
He wasn't too hot. He didn't have a pooey nappy. I gave him some reassurance. I cuddled him. I put him down. I waited 5 minutes. I then went back in, but it just kicked it off all over again. So my husband and I were like, that's it now. We're going to have to sit this out. And I had to wait 18 minutes before he stopped crying. And it was hell.
Yeah, yeah. It was really difficult.
It was really difficult, but it's broken the pattern and he's not doing it.
So it is about listening to your baby and responding, or child, and responding to them what works for them. So some babies, as you say, and children actually winds them up going in too often, but not going in at all isn't the right thing. And that's more about sort of you know, just leaving them to scream for hours is not the right thing. But finding what works for them is important. And some babies, some children need a pick up and a cuddle. Others, that winds them up, it stimulates them. So giving them just a, you know, sort of stroking their hair or something and saying, mummy's here or daddy's here, everything's all right, and then coming out again is what works. So, oh, there's the gradual method. So you do it gradually. But even if you do it gradually, they're going to kick off. They're going to say, well, why aren't I in your bed? Why, you know, and they don't like it. So it's about sort of minimalising the cry by giving them lots of support.
That's a question from me, actually. So when Gigi arrived, Axel was asking me, why can Gigi sleep in your bedroom, but I can't? And so I was having to explain to him, you know, when you were Gigi's age, you used to sleep in mummy and daddy's bedroom because she's really little and, you know, we need to keep her safe. And you're a big boy and blah, 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 blah. So what is the right way to go around that?
So what you did was correct, explaining to him that. But also what I find works is when you're doing your bedtime routine with them, go and put your little, the new baby down when you're doing the bedtime routine, so that it's like we're going to put, say, Gigi to bed, and you do it together, and you, so that he doesn't think she's going downstairs with you for the evening.
Yes.
He doesn't know that 2 minutes after you've shut his door and gone downstairs that she's back down with you for the evening because she's up still.
Oh my God, she's actually just chatting to us.
She says, I don't come downstairs,
that's
I go
what
to bed.
Yeah, you don't let me come downstairs.
But it's about, you know, sort of showing him that it's all the same and we're not treating you any different, and she still goes to bed as well. But okay, it is in my room for now.
Right. Yeah, we both found that like quite tricky, didn't we, to get around like that whole allowed to sleep in the bedroom and one's not. But I mean, hey ho, they learn, don't they?
They do learn, and it is about giving them that sort of that reassurance that everything's normal and that she will go into her own room, and maybe show Axel your, you know, her room, and say, this is where she's going to go when she's 6 months old, or when we choose to put her in her own room.
Yeah, I know we touched on it earlier, but transitioning from a cot to a bed, what you know, you think your toddler's ready, what do you then do? So do you just take the sides off the cot, or do you go with them to go and buy a new bed, or what, you know,
you can try all those things. So if there is room in the bedroom, it's great to have the bed made up as well, so you've got the cot and the bed in there, and that isn't always suitable for everybody, but that's a good way. And then they can maybe start to nap in their bed during the day and then go into their cot at night, so until they're ready. Going out and choosing their duvet and sort of pillowcase,
that's a nice thing to do,
yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah, we did that
but I regret it.
Why?
I've got ugly PJ Masks duvet.
Oh my God, he's three.
You don't have to sleep in them. So, and putting them back into bed, maybe putting the stair gate across the door, more as a sort of safety element. And I mean, mine sometimes got out of bed and fell asleep on the floor, and you just have to pick them up and put them back into bed again. You know, these things happen, but they will eventually sleep in their beds and they will be happy there.
Can certain foods affect their sleep during the night? Because I'm not kidding. Every single time we give Luna pizza at bedtime, she wakes continually through the night. And I think it's the hot cheese.
It could well be. But cheese can affect us, can't it?
Yeah.
You know, it can give you dreams. So it might be that, that's affecting her. But often processed sugar as well. So avoiding too much processed sugar anyway, but certainly afternoons and evenings, to keep that out of their
diet. So it definitely does have an effect on them.
Yeah, it absolutely can affect their sleep.
What do you think about snacking before bed? As in, like, if she wanted to have a piece of toast with Marmite or a banana or something, should she not need that if she's had a good dinner?
If she's had a good dinner, she shouldn't. But if she's hungry, and sometimes they can wake early from being hungry, then a simple snack at bedtime's fine. But again, brush their teeth afterwards. Make sure it hasn't got the processed sugars in it.
Sure.
So what's a good snack before bedtime if they are hungry?
Maybe some, if cheese is okay, then cheese and crackers, or maybe some sort of peanut butter on toast, if they
That's
can have nut
one.
Butters, something like that.
Yeah.
So they've got a bit of carb and a bit of protein in there as well.
What do you say to the myth of putting them in socks?
Oh, to keep their feet warm.
Yeah.
I mean, I can't sleep if I've got cold feet.
Yeah.
So, you know, sometimes they, especially when they're coming out of a sleeping bag and they're in pyjamas, putting a little pair of socks on. And generally kids will kick them off if they've got hot feet in the night.
Yeah. I love sleeping in socks.
Oh, God, I don't. I don't like sleeping in anything. Hot or cold. I'm always naked, just to put that image in your head. Just the last one. My six-year-old wants my company whilst she falls asleep. My six-year-old.
Okay. It could be that you're at work all day and she's at school all day, and then you don't see each other, or she is at school all day or he, so they're not going to see you and they just want that bit of time with you. So maybe building in that time when they get home from school, so you have some time together, and maybe transition, do the sort of gentle, yes, mummy's just going to do this and be outside the door. But it's not unusual for that age to want a bit of your time, special quiet time.
Yeah.
So if you can build that in before bedtime, you're less likely to get that at bedtime.
Yeah.
Bro, that sounds great. And so every episode, we always finish off with five favourite products. So for sleep, we talk about sleep aids and that kind of thing, night lights. What would be your five top products?
Okay, so they would be travel blackout blinds that stick onto the window. They're
brilliant,
great,
aren't they? Where'd you get those from?
Amazon. Absolutely brilliant. And they're great. And they're great for hotels or when you're going to in-laws or sort of family sort of and staying. I think white noise is really good for some babies.
I'm a massive white noise fan.
So where can you get a white noise machine that stays on all night?
Amazon, I've got one.
Oh, have you? Because I keep ordering them and it's like 30-minute timer and I'm like, no. That one needs to go back.
You can have the one that we've got because we're not using it now.
Please.
You're going to laugh at this. We swore by white noise and Kit had it from literally day dot. And then when he went to stay for the night, when he was like, well, it was only a month ago, so 15 months, at the Childminders, Nana Corrin, they call her. And I was like, I didn't tell you about the white noise. I've packed the machine. She's like old-fashioned granny. She was like, load of rubbish. And I was like, no, he cannot sleep without it. And she was like, doesn't need it. And the next day I was like, so slept through the night, did he? And she was like, yeah, didn't have the white noise on. And that's it. We haven't had it on since.
Yeah.
Well, he just stopped needing it, I think.
And people ask me, is there a good right or a right time to stop it? And there isn't really. You can just, you know, there's no right or wrong to it. If they're happy with it, that's fine. But if you don't need it, then quite often I'll say start to turn it down and see whether it affects their sleep. So just turn the volume down every few nights until you get down to nothing. It just helps them zone. You know, when you sort of come out of that light sleep, they just zone out to it and it helps them relax and switch off.
Okay.
It helps them settle. It's great for little ones as well. When you've got a toddler running around the house and you've got a baby during nap time in the day, it just stops all those noises. And at bedtime, I get to a lot of houses and they're creeping around. No TV. They won't flush the loo. They won't have a shower because they're so frightened of waking the baby. So white noise in the bedroom.
Yeah, great.
You can carry life on again.
Yeah, brilliant. So that's great. Good white noise machine.
So a good sleeping bag as well. The correct TOG. So depending on the weather. So anything from 0.5 up to sort of a 2.5 TOG sleeping bag and a good fitting one as well. So that's three. What else do I say? oh, the white noise, you can use an app on your on a sort of an old phone or something on airplane mode, so it doesn't need to be on all night. So if you don't want to buy a sort of a white noise machine, they're
just
great.
Get an app.
Just got the app on an old iPad, but on flight mode, it doesn't need to be on sort of online.
Yeah,
because
then it will go off.
That's
it?
Right.
Real.
A nightlight, if you want a nightlight, they're great. And the little grow egg ones are really good.
Oh, yeah.
They give the temperature, but they give a nice glow as well. And you can, you know, if you've got it from birth, you just leave it in there sort of thing. And so that's four, isn't it?
Yeah. What do you think of the grow clock?
Oh, yeah.
Gigi, come here.
She says, I'm not having one of those.
Because it's really worked wonders for us.
Oh, it worked, yeah. It depends when you introduce it. Some children just don't grasp the concept of it. And others grasp the concept and are like, well, I'm not watching that. Doesn't matter what that says, I'm getting up. So they are great at trying to teach them that we don't get up till maybe 7, which would be ideal, wouldn't it? But 6 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
But they've got to be old enough. So I'd say sort of anything from 3 onwards, really, okay, for them to understand that that's what that means.
Okay.
But it might last for a few weeks, and then they often sort of, as I say, I might like sort of, well, I don't really care what that clock says. I'm getting up anyway.
Yeah, it's interesting because obviously it doesn't affect her during the night because she's quite happy to wake me up 4 times. But she doesn't come out of her room until 6:45.
Oh, so she does grasp. She understands that's what time is set at.
So yeah, I think give it a whirl. Try anything to get some sleep. Sam, it's been an absolute treat to chat to you. Thank you.
Thank you so
it's
much.
It's been great.
Loved it. I just want her to. Can you come round to the house and sort it out, please? Thank you, Sam.
Thanks.
Thank you.
If you thought the only way to get a more defined jawline with natural-looking results was through surgery, think again. Juvederm Volux XC is a non-surgical injectable gel filler that improves moderate to severe loss of jawline definition and can help you achieve natural-looking results with little downtime. Even better, this improved definition lasts up to 1 year with optimal treatment. No maintenance required. Improve jawline definition for a smooth, sculpted look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Well, that was a great chat.
I just loved her.
I know. Whenever we talk about like sleep or anything, I always feel like I learn so much. And then for the next few weeks after that, I completely nail the sleep.
I also think when I'm sitting down in front of somebody that knows about sleep, I've got like a trillion questions that I want to ask. And then when she goes, I'm like, damn it, I didn't ask that question.
I know. I'm hoping that we've covered a lot in that one, though.
Yeah, I do too. And so, we need to talk about our products now.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, there aren't too many products that can actually make your kid sleep, because if there were, then that person who invented it would be a billion trillion zillionaire
slash our best mates. I'm going to kick it off with my favorite new sleeping bag. So this is from a company called Little Earth Baby, founded by, she's such a lovely woman, her name's Emma Bianco. Basically these are all baby products but with absolutely no nasties in them, and she sent me a sleeping bag. A bamboo sleeping bag, and basically just hasn't got any kind of nasty products inside it, it just makes sure that baby doesn't overheat.
Oh wow,
because what
good.
Was happening with Kit was he was waking up and he's a really hot baby, and he was just in this sleeping bag and he was getting too hot, and I was really worried about it. So this is a bit of an investment piece, but we've used it all summer long, And yeah, I love it. I love the quality of it as well. It looks really great, and obviously, yeah, it doesn't get them too hot.
Well, that's great.
Yeah, little earth baby.
So for me, a comforter is really key. So when Axel gave up his dummy just before he was one, I swapped that out with a little comforter.
Monkey?
Yeah, well, monkey and elephant we've got. Right. Onky and elephant, actually. And so Jellycat comforters.
Yeah.
You can get Jellycat in everywhere, really. John Lewis, little boutiques on the high street. But those comforters, they're so soft. They wash really well. I mean, we've been washing ours once a week for 3 years almost.
Yeah.
Gigi.
I think a comforter is also a really good sleep trigger. So, I mean, personally, we had a bit of an issue with Luna's comforter, Ulfie, because she wanted to have him all day, every day. But once we started restricting him just for nap time, it was like, Ulfie comes out now, now it's time to go to sleep.
Yeah,
and that
exactly.
really works.
Also, I found when Axel went to nursery, knowing that he had Onky and Elephant in his bag, he felt like he had his mates with him.
It's so cute,
so
I can't
sweet.
Say. My mates, Onky and Ellie, do you yeah. know what I mean? So another one which has kind of really helped us and is actually a new purchase in the house is a plastic sheet. Because Luna obviously was going through potty training kind of 6 months ago, she was having accidents in the night, obviously,
yeah.
and I was having to like scrubbing mattresses at 2 o'clock in the morning and then flipping them over and doing all this business. Now I've got a plastic sheet which I bought on Amazon. I literally put it underneath her sheet, and then if there are any accidents, I just whip it off, and it's really great. It speeds things up in the
yeah,
night.
Yeah, that's great. That is a really good one. Another one for me, we talk a lot about reading books before going to bed, but Axel loves the moonlight. Now,
yay.
We spoke about this probably about a year ago, didn't
yeah.
we? And we still use it at least a couple of times a week. So it's like a projector, story projector, that goes onto the wall, and it plays little music, and it really seems to calm him down.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's just a bit different like than a normal book.
Yeah, yeah, so. We love that too. And you can buy different packs, can't you? So
yeah.
different kind of stories on the story reel, like the setup pack I think is like 30 quid, but then you can keep adding to it and it just
yeah,
keeps on going
exactly.
and going and going.
You can get so many books, like books that you'll know, like The Hungry Caterpillar, Little yeah. Red Riding Hood. Wow, Gigi's been so
all right, Gigi, what do you reckon?
What do you think? Do you like the Little Red Riding Hood book?
Yay! She's so cute. And then the last one is the grow clock. Now, as Sam mentioned, it's not for everybody because some kids don't really understand it, and it just depends on what age you start introducing it. We probably did it, she's turning 3 next month. We did it with Luna about 4 or 5 months ago.
Okay.
And it's really, really worked for us. Okay, she does wake up a couple of times during the night, but actually doesn't come out of her bedroom until 6:45 or 7 o'clock, depending on what time. And she goes, "When's it morning, Mummy?" And I say, "When the sun comes out on the clock." And she goes, "Okay." She
yeah,
goes, "It's
that's
nighttime now because the moons are out." She really understands it. And I think it's worth investing in it because at this point, you'll try anything.
Great.
So that wraps up this week's episode. Thank you so much for listening. As always, we would love you to rate, review and subscribe to the podcast and spread the Made by Mamas love. We would also love...
drop us a message
yes.
at Made by Mamas, or of course on Zoe's own channel at Zoe Hardman.
Yeah, and if you do get time, please could you give us a little 5-star review, because it really helps us. And also send us messages letting us know who else you want us to have these conversations with. We'll keep it going and we'll see you next week.
Thanks.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.